Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 225. This is part two, Grower or Growee. Today is Sunday, December 18th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA.
What? I'm doing the podcast.
Oh no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message? And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you're getting something out of it, like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Pearlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December. And keep your gifts under $50.
Now, the world is looking for somebody they can identify with. And so they try to find him in a bar. And they walk in there, you know, and they can't see nothing, and it's smoke-filled in there, you know, and they got this music blaring and playing in there, you know. People are walking around all drunk and burping that booze breath all over the place, and the whole place smells like a great big toilet bowl. Huh? And they go in there, and they're peeking around, trying to find somebody to identify with them, see? And they're looking around, trying to pretend like they're not looking around. You ever seen somebody that tries to pretend like they're not looking around when they're looking around? Well, you know they're looking around. Why? Because you tried it yourself. Huh? Isn't that true? And they're all trying to find somebody they can identify with them. Well, I wonder if that person could identify with me. I think I'll go talk to her. So they get two drunk people together. Of course they can identify. They both talk the same. Rah, 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 rah. Yeah. They solved all the world's problems in one night. Oh, God, it's miserable out there. Let me tell you. Are you listening on the radio? It is miserable. Stop looking for someone to identify with you. Trying to find people to identify with their self, their wants. Well, first of all, I'll be honest with you. This is what I want. This is what I expect out of a partner. Loyalty, love, devotion. Bowling on Wednesday nights? Able to go my own way whenever I want to? Huh? Yeah. Trying to get somebody to identify with their desires and their likes. And this is what I like. What do you like? And so they lie to each other. Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, I really like that. I love to trudge through the woods. Oh, do you? I have a motorcycle. I've got to get me a gal that rides a motorcycle. Oh, I love motorcycles. I just love the feel of that power under my seat. Boom, 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 huh? Oh, my brother had one. I just loved it. And so they lie so they can identify. Christians do that all the time. Don't they? Well, you know they do. I mean, listen, Christians out there, I know you don't believe a lot of the hogwash that you're hearing, but you want to identify, see? Not with Jesus. You want to take on the identification with Jesus, but you don't want to identify with suffering. So you're in the non-suffering, always learning, never doing nothing crowd. You can identify with that. That's easy to identify with that. Huh? It's like telling a kid, who identifies with castor oil? Who identify with ice cream? Yay! Huh? In other words, they give them what they want. They're glad to identify with that because it doesn't cost them nothing. It doesn't leave any aftertaste. Or they want someone to identify with their moods. Huh? Can you identify with my moods? Oh, hey. Talk about the Phantom of the Opera. Some of these gals are like the Phantom of the Opera. They are in their bedclothes all day long with the shades drawn. I mean, their hair looks like a snake nest. Well, there's guys like that too. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing this? And they want to find somebody to identify with that. Someone to identify with their mood. Well, what's wrong with you today? Oh, I just don't feel good. All right. Ooh. You want to identify with that? Not I. Not I. Or maybe you'll have to identify with a knuckle sandwich. Want to identify with that? Not I. Not I. How many are hearing this? And so they lie to each other trying to find someone to identify with them. They want somebody to understand their problem. And the problem is their self. Well, see, I got this problem. Yeah, I know what it is. It's you. You were the problem. They're always searching for identity, but leaving it in identification. I'm a Christian. Because to identify means dedication. It means suffering. It means understanding. It means patience. So they don't want to identify. Well, you belong to a mission ministry, and then you have to identify with picking up 100-pound bags of spuds and real fun stuff like that. It's easier to identify by sitting down and seeing it on TV and then writing a check out, which isn't altogether bad. Keep them cards and letters flowing. But to really identify, that's another story. That's why there isn't a whole lot of boxers, because they don't want to identify with all of the road work and all the training and everything. Oh, God, man. And they can see themselves, and they see this Rocky, you know, da-da-da, da-da-da. They see that, and their head is on top of Rocky. That's as far as they're going to get in identifying with it. With boxing. And some guys, they'll sit and watch the boob tube until their eyes are just two little dots. The football games. One guy I know, he fell out of his easy chair there, reaching for some Frito-Lay chip dip, and broke his arm. That's as close as he got to being a football player. What I'm saying here is as close as people get to being a Christian sometimes, it's just saying, I belong to a certain church. And they never even go there. I know churches in the city that have 2,500 members, and they have 150 people coming. They got all these members. And then if they have a paint-a-thon, the 125, there's only one there, the preacher. And that's his excuse for not doing anything. Well, this is kind of a hard message on the flesh. Oh, yes, it is. Sometime back I said, you know, if you had four people in 10,000 and they had a certain habit, they would find each other. Sort of double talk. They come together in sort of a either it's a body language or eye language or mouth language. Well, they have a certain walk and a certain talk and a certain eye language. Certain way they gait themselves when they're on the thing, you know what I mean? You can spot them, and they want you to spot them, so they'll say key words. And so if there's only 4 in 10,000, they'll find one another. Because you know why? They're looking for somebody to identify with them. Isn't that the problem? They won't search out a stronger one who loves them unconditionally, but feel more relaxed with their kind. Somebody else is from, say, Squaresville or from Nowhere City. They're not in the in-group. No. And so they rationalize and they say, none is righteous, no, not one. And they live in the garbage can of identification. Oh, yes, I'm saved. I go to church. I tithe. And if it wasn't for my Social Security, if it wasn't for my job, if it wasn't for my wife, if it wasn't for my husband, if it wasn't for my kids, if it wasn't for my hobby, if it wasn't for my yacht, if it wasn't for my house, I'd get more involved. But right now I can't identify. I'll belong to the church, I'll belong to the body of Christ, but I can't identify with doing anything. I can't be Christ-like. And the sad part is that Jesus Christ identified with them at Calvary. But you see, they will not take on his identity after Calvary and be, let's say, a Jesus freak or get into a walk that gets heavy now and then. You see, because if you're living in your own identity, you're going to want to go back into the world. Well, you know, I've been thinking. Oh, God, I hate to hear people say that. I hate it. I've been thinking, you know what I miss? I miss my old lethargy. Or whatever their thing is. And they go right back into the world again. And you know, you can go back into the world feigning spirituality and get into a whole lot of man-made nothings. Has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ or getting people saved or feeding people or nothing like that. There's no realistic thing in it at all. Because see, that would mean taking on the identity of Jesus Christ and actually doing something. Be not only a hearer of the word, the Bible says, but be a doer of the word. Well, I've come to this conclusion. I have come to this conclusion. You know how many people have left? They were in these faith movements, and now they have left the church altogether? Thousands. Millions. That were disillusioned. And it's the same way with the prosperity teachings and all of those teachings. People have left because they weren't given anything to do. They didn't take on the identity of Jesus Christ. They identified with Jesus Christ, but they didn't take on his identity, and they died. In this world, you will have persecution, the Bible says. Oh, I'm not asking for anything like, you don't have to ask for it, you will have it. Oh, God. Well, what's the way out of this? So that you won't hear the call of the wild and go back in. Get out of identification and take on his identity. There's a lot of marriages that keep their me identification. And they won't take on the same identity, Jesus Christ. And they are miserable. Feel oneness. Oh, they can identify with what Jesus Christ has done, but not with what he wants to do. It would mean giving up self. It would mean giving up little pleasures like smacking our lips and rolling over and going to sleep. People do that all the time on Sunday morning. What time is it? Oh, God, I don't know. You roll over and say, oh, I can't make it. I know I'm speaking to folks. Oh, I know it. And then they'll get up and say, oh, let's turn on the boob tube. Or let's listen to a tape. They don't want to identify with the body of Christ. Did that touch a few of you folks listening on the radio? Talking to all these preachers. Seems to be a universal problem. People can't get out of bed. They can't identify. I can't see it. Getting out of bed. 8 o'clock in the morning. No way. It would mean dedicating yourself. Well, they don't want to dedicate themselves to anything. It would mean dying to self. It would mean bearing a cross. It would mean dying for a friend. And they don't want to identify because all those things are so negative, don't you see? It would mean moving out of a small room with poor lighting called the mind room. The mind of man room. And receiving the mind of Christ. Well, I gotta ask a question here. Do you want to expand? And go from the 25-watt closet light bulb into a 1,000-watt dining room area? Do you want to expand? Do you want a large room? Then identify with Jesus Christ, his walk, his work, his talk, a cross, ridicule, and the Bible says to be scorned, be misunderstood, lose friends, and walk down Calvary Road. And identify with pain, and identify with sin, and identify with people in sin, and the low, base, perverted things of this world. Will you identify with Christ? Well, Christ identified with those. Will you identify with the hungry? And so I got to ask this, is Christ your life? Are you looking to people who are Christ-like, or are you identifying with Jesus Christ to become Christ-like? Psalm 73 and 14. For all day long I have been plagued. Have you been plagued all day long by something? Sometimes people are. I think many Christians suffer this. Well, evildoers, it seems, let me say that over and over again. Make out. Does it ever seem to you that sometimes evildoers are making out and you're tormented and you're the scruff? Well, listen to what he says here. I think the troublemakers have peace and yet we're denied sometimes. Does it seem like some of the troublemakers sometimes have peace? Huh? Did you ever notice that when you're a little kid? And there's a troublemaker and there's three little girls playing together. More than likely, well, boys do it too, but more so girls. And there's two little girls and they're so happy and having fun together. And then the third party comes in, skipping in. No teeth in their front and braids. And now we got trouble. Trouble, right down here in River City, we got trouble. Three women together. Little women, little people, but we got three of them together. Huh? And so the third one is looking for just one to identify with them. And so now we get in a circle of people trying to identify with each other. Someone's got to go. Ever been in a situation like that? Sure. You get in situations like that right now. Men do it all the time. Looking for some person to identify with you. And so the troublemaker makes out, and it seems like, well, she didn't do nothing. She just came up to play. And you got so mad. And so now, does it seem like you're the dud? And Susie, chapstick, troublemaker? Does it seem that way sometimes? And like, now, you're on the outside? Do you get envious of those people? Why do you envy them when you know that that's evil? Do you want to be evil? Do you want to identify with them and be like them so your other girlfriend or persons or people will like you? Oh my God, what a mess! So we'll do anything so that we can identify with the group. And teenagers listen to me, you know what I'm talking about. Peer pressure. Verse 16, listen. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And so over here we have David. He couldn't speak out against the family of God lest he scandalize it. And so a lot of times you keep your mouth shut because it'll scandalize God's people. Now the troublemaker don't care about that. They don't care who they scandalize. As long as they have their own way, and that's what they want is their own way. They want to manipulate. Do you understand what I just said there? They want to manipulate. And so they'll do everything to manipulate and make you feel miserable. And here is David. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And so to speak might have relieved one sorrow, but you know what? It would have created another. You ever want to tell somebody off? Well, you would relieve yourself, but you would create another problem. Self-made. Now, you've created a scene, and now Mr. Evil or group of evil can get after you. Did you see the way that poor soul reacted? All because you were mad and envious because you wanted to identify with a group of people and they wouldn't listen to your point of view. In such a case, be like David and keep your mouth shut. Agree with your adversary quickly whilst he is in the way so they get out of the way. Let's go on here and I'm closing it up. And so he gave up such a dangerous remedy. Now, you know what? And I've learned this. Isn't a smothered grief hard to bear when you have to smother it? To be still while our inward parts are roaring? It's like hiding a wolf under our clothes. It still gnaws at our innards. Verse 17. Listen to it. Until, oh glory to God, and here's the victory if you'll grab it tonight. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Now here's a piece. Now his mind now has entered eternity where God dwells, our holy God dwells. Listen to it. And he sort of leaves the things of sense for the things invisible, the Bible says. He sort of gazed behind the veil where the thrice holy God stands. And now his point of view changes. And you want to know why? Here the envy of evildoers leaves. Verse 17. Then understood I their end. You know what happened? He saw their guilt and he saw their frustration, and the thrice holy God allowed them to see that evil plan from a different vantage point, because he dared to go into the higher room, the sanctuary of God, and seek God about it. And God told him right then and there, hey, do you understand now their end? When people do things like they do, there is an end to it. And their end, you don't want to be in on that. Second Peter 3:18, I'm wrapping it up, says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Churches all over right now are not taking on the identity of Jesus Christ. You know what's happening? They're dying. We have the answer, and we have the answer in expansion. Well, stop taking drugs. How do you do that? Expand. Stop smoking. Expand. Stop lusting. Expand. Stop homosexuality. Expand. Stop drinking. How do you do that? Expand. Allow yourself to be brought into a larger room. A person called me the other day and says, you know, Pastor Paul, I can't get into it. And I said, why can't you get into it? Why don't you come out of self and get into him, get into Jesus? Bible says, hidden in Christ in God. And so hidden self is lost and Christ is found. Let me close it up here. In closing it up, I have to say that expansion means to grow in the grace and knowledge of a living person, Jesus Christ, our new identity. You used to be petty, expand out of it. You used to be bitter, expand out of it. You used to be fearful, expand out of it. You used to compare, expand out of it. You used to hold a grudge, expand out of it. I can't get a job, that kind of talk, expand out of that. The world is against me. Expand out of that. I'm sick. Expand out of that. I'm tired. Expand out of that. I'm sick and tired. Expand out of that. I can't do it. I can't take it. Why me, Lord? I'll never get married. I'm too ugly. Expand out of it. I hate my looks. Expand out of that. Expand out of arguing. And so now your soul is brought out of a prison. It's not confined. Let's expand into a large room and redeem the time, the Bible says. While it's yet called today. Sometimes I think people enjoy the atmosphere of grace, but are not growing in grace's atmosphere. They love to live in the pollution with no solution. It gives themselves something to cry and whine about. You ever been around a person that's a continual crier and whiner? My God. And you know what? They got to have certain people around them that they're used to crying and whining to. And when they lose those certain people, they fall apart. I talked to a person, I guess it was 2 days ago, and I said, you know, some people enjoy the freedom of no conflict. But they will have a conflict because they don't grow in the freedom they have. The Bible says we must decrease, he must increase. And the Bible also says study to be quiet. Keep quiet. Go into a larger room, expand. You're going to have to do that in the end time. Because you're going to be around all kinds of miserable folks that don't want to expand, don't want to grow, don't want to get involved, don't want to do anything. They don't want to identify with the suffering of Jesus Christ. They take on the identification. Oh, I belong to so-and-so. I belong to that group. But they never take on the identity of that ministry, of that body of Christ, of Jesus Christ himself. They never take on the identity because it would mean giving up part of your selfish self. And that's where Christianity is right now. I'm telling you right now, we are ready for revival. But before revival has going to come, there's got to be a lot of death. There's got to be a lot of dying to self before there even be a revival. Who would ever be brought to Christ with all of the things that are going on right now? Tell me. The gospel message, the Bible says, must be preached. That's it. That's it. You got to expand out of it. I told a guy today, I says, you know what? I says, why don't you just leave yourself? And he was talking about a guru, maru, guru, guru. I said, hey, what is this? I don't want to hear that. Don't you believe in guru, maru, maha, baha, bahaji, hanji? I said, no, that don't mean nothing to me. That's just somebody with a turban on that has to put on underarm deodorant just like I do. I serve a God. I don't serve the flesh, some person. I don't bow down to some guru, maru, patu. Forget it. What? Don't talk against guru, maru, matu, patu. I said, hey, that's garbage to me. It should be garbage to you, too. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus Christ. Only one way. And I says, and you know the way of Jesus is the way of suffering. I'm going to get with a maru, magru, whatever. I said, hey, they just get into mind trips and they sit there because they smoke too much hashish. Sit there with that great big long Indian pipe with a great big hose on it. You know what I mean? And get into all these mind trips. You know what I mean? Way out there and they stare ahead with these bugged out eyes. Now, this guy's really something. Look at those eyes pulsating, huh? You know what they look like? Some kind of a frog sitting there. I mean, I get violent when somebody says, hey, this is really Jesus Christ right here in the flesh, this maru, maguru, ma whatever, huh? That's junk, I says. Pure junk. Well, you got to be bold for the Lord, right? Yeah, you got to be bold. This guy was fit to be tied. Man, he just about did aid. Well, he was supposed to be real peaceful, like his guru, mafru, madru, see? And they just don't believe in any kind of violence. They just sit very peacefully and talk with their lips like this and barely move their lips because they don't use too much flesh, you know. And talk in real achy tones. Oh, yes, and so on like that. But boy, did his voice change. He took on a whole different... I says, you know what? You need saving just like me. You're ready to punch me in the face. You know what? I'd probably punch you back. He says, yeah, you call yourself a Christian? I says, yeah, right now I'm a mad one. That's being honest, ain't it? Well, isn't that being honest? A woman told me that out there. I had this great big, huge bag of potatoes, and I got it in a little teeny, I think it was a Datsun or one of them little junk heaps. What, do you drive a Datsun? Who drives a Datsun in here? I don't care. They're all junk heaps. I'm driving one too, a Chevy junk heap. But anyway, a little teeny car, and I had to push the seat forward and, you know, wangle this great big 100-pound sack, and the roof was leaking in the truck. These are fresh potatoes. They were just dug them out of the ground and washed them. So they were wet yet from being washed, and they were causing moisture in the truck, and so it was dropping down. She said, would you take this bag of potatoes out there and give me the one up on the back of the truck there? I said, well, why? She says, this there's a spot on there. They're wet. I want that one up there on the truck. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I says, if you want another bag of potatoes, get out of the car, pull them out of there, and put up. She says, do you call yourself a Christian? I said, yes, I call myself. Right now, I'm a mad Christian. Get out of that car and get your own bag of potatoes. I'm not pulling that thing out of there. Is that honest? Or then you pull the potatoes out. Okay, praise God.
And then you get him out of there, and then you tell everybody. And you just tell everybody and talk about her like she's garbage. You know what I mean? At least I did it in front of her face. Tell the truth. Isn't that right, though? Hey, I mean, God wants somebody that's truthful, not somebody that says, oh, sure, praise the Lord, huh? Gets a double hernia trying to lift a bag of potatoes out of a Datsun. Are you hearing this? And that's the kind of thing we're into. Satisfying and identifying with people that talk in low, melodic tones and never get angered and never do anything and talk so sweetly. And when they get home and close the door, I say, oh, shut up! The next morning, get up and prophesy. Well, that to me is not Christianity. Okay? That is identifying with a whole lot of people that do the whole same thing, and they hate what they're doing because they're not identifying with Jesus, so they're miserable and mean, and it shows up when they get home. Okay? Amen? Amen. You up in the balcony up there, thronging over, hanging over the sides, say amen. Listen to them. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as your personal Savior?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 225. That was part two of Grower or Growee. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links, a lot of them this week. Be sure to check those out. And join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday, Cry Out for Deliverance. You don't want to miss that one. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You got to move. When the Lord